Okay, next item, item number 15, 2026-065, found on page 92, vehicle body repair and painting on page 92. Thank you, Major. Major, just two quick questions on this that just kind of come to light this afternoon. What repairs are necessary? It says this increase is necessary to accommodate additional vehicle repair and painting expenses associated with repairs to an animal control vehicle. I'm assuming that this is accident related?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the two questions. What repairs and why isn't the insurance company, either ours or the other party, if there is a party, paying for it?
So second question first. Normally the insurance company, the practice that we're moving towards and prefer is the insurance company just pays the vendor directly. In this case, somehow they didn't, so they sent the city the check instead.
Say that again.
They sent the city the check instead.
Okay.
So that's why we're going through our process to pay the vendor.
Has the city received the check yet?
I would believe so. I'd have to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure they did if we did the work already.
This is an insurance check, Major. So could you check on that for
me? Sure. And this was the result of a crash. It should be in your packet. The list of the items that were either removed or replaced or fixed is all listed there and itemized.
You said it's in the packet?
It should be, yes, sir.
Okay.
I can list off a few items if you like, but it's all...
Sure, go ahead.
Okay.
I want to see if it matches mine.
Sure. Obviously, the basic stuff like, the paint, finish, sand, buff, different additives for the corrosion resistance. There's a cowl grill. There's a fender. There's a testing of the seatbelt system after the fact.
That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's in line with what I thought. Okay, that's all I have on that item. Next item is, that's right. So we do have a change in this. Oh, we already talked about that. And we need to change the account number from to number 76358, and we do not need a resolution on that, okay? That's just the scribers. Okay. Stay with me. I thank you. Carry on. Yeah, the administrative person, GB, says I can carry on. Okay, item number 16, workers' compensation. We do have a PCR number on that. I believe Councilman Ricks is to recuse. That is 2022-067, now identified as PCR 73-26. Found on page 94. Councilman Ricks needs to recuse. Do we have any further questions from members of the committee, members of the council, members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCR 73-26. We have a motion, we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all very much. Finance Committee is adjourned at 6:05. Oh, see that? I was just following Council Foley's lead. He was taking a stretch break. Okay. Okay. So we need a motion on PCR 71-26.
Favorable action.
We have motion favorable. We have a second. All, anyone in discussion? Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you all.
Anything else, boss?
No, that's all we got.
Correction, we are adjourned at 6:06.
Would the Public Safety Committee please convene?
Good evening. The Public Safety Committee is in session at 6:07 p.m. We have one item on the agenda. It is PCR 6226, resolution relative to claim for Whedon. This was carried over from the last meeting. Is Mr. Whedon here? Is Mr. Whedon here? Okay. Chief, was Mr. Whedon notified for this record, for this meeting?
Through the clerk, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so just a refresher, this was a claim for damage conducted during a fire rescue, and the resident denied or refused city's work to fix the...
Sorry, can I just clarify that?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
The resident didn't want to wait until we got to do the work.
Okay.
We responded that we didn't have a date. We were still making the plow repairs. He decided through the claims person that I'm not waiting. I can't turn my sprinklers on. I can't cut my grass. I'm submitting a claim. Once the claim process starts, everything else stops. The claim was denied by fire.
Okay. Thanks for that clarification. So again, the claim was for the repair of the lawn and the area of the road. There was some patching work on the road. We held it over one session to let Mr. Whedon talk about the claim. So I will actually open it up to discussion. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. I don't have any questions. I just want to confirm that the Chief of Staff did answer the questions that I had asked at the previous meeting. I do have those answers in writing, and it's exactly what he just stated, that the individual, Mr. Whedon, was not willing to wait for the city to get there and do the repairs, and consequently, he did his own, or moved to have his own repairs done. So the opportunity was extended to him for the city to do it. I also want to put on the record that I understand the situation, the narrow road, the fire department having to respond to an emergency, had no alternatives but to drive across the lawn, et cetera. And my personal feelings is city's responsible. That's my feelings. But we had that discussion. But I want that to be noted, that when there is something that occurs like that, whether it's, let me back up. I'm certain it's never intentional, so it's accidental. Either way, somebody's going to be responsible when that type of thing occurs. But thank you for following up on that, Chief. I appreciate it. And, okay, I'll hold.
Thank you. So what really strikes me about this is that really it comes back to poor planning. This isn't the fault of anybody here today. It's really a matter of, okay, when they laid out this particular road in a particularly narrow way, I don't think that they were exactly planning for these kinds of vehicles to be moving through. But it's been quite a while since we've had large fire apparatus, large rescue apparatus. It's the 21st century. We should probably be doing something about this. So where my analysis on this is that normally, if it's necessary on the rare occasion for a rescue or fire apparatus to drive on a lawn, unavoidable in order to get to the destination, save life, protect people, then yeah, the calculation has to be there that, okay, the lawn's going to get torn up. That happens. But where it's designed effectively because of the narrow road, that in situations like this, it's perfectly predictable that the lawn is going to get run over and torn up. Well, at a certain point, I think that the city has to take some level of responsibility there. It's a little bit of a tricky case. I wish that Mr. Whedon was here on this $950 claim. I have a feeling that similar situations like this are going to come up again, so I want to make sure that my opinion is clear and on the record here that if the city is setting itself up to continue to be in this position in situations like this with a narrow road, then I do think that the city should ultimately bear responsibility, because the city is ultimately making its own cost-benefit determination on whether to expand to widen the road enough so that its own fire apparatus can effectively get down the city road. So, otherwise, I view it more through the constitutional lens of if the city is going to constantly, or from time to time, anticipate driving over this person's lawn, seems a bit like a taking to me. And so then the person deserves fair compensation for that taking. I don't think it's necessarily reasonable. And I should preface that by saying that when a definitive repair date could not be offered, I would like to hear a little bit more about the context of all of that. Was it a matter of, okay, we're able to come out there next week, but we can't give you a date certain? Or is it, maybe we can get out there in a month, maybe 2 months, we don't know. Because there is a bit of a difference there as well. But I don't have that information, so I don't know. Anyways, at a certain point in time, I think that it does become reasonable where the claimant, the homeowner, is not being given a date certain from the city as to when the city would repair his yard, for the homeowner to go out and hire a suitable vendor to go out and do that work for them. We often see bids from this particular vendor for this general type of work. I don't know the precise scope of work and all of that. Again, I'd like to get more information on those details, but if it's a reasonable amount for the scope of work here, then I would actually be inclined to go ahead and award that amount, as long as all of the other information is also being provided, because this is the type of situation that really better planning would have prevented it in the first place, even though there might not have been negligence in that very moment. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any comments from the council?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Mr. President.
So from my perspective, there are layers to the problems here for this particular claim. One, the claimant went along with the repair on their own despite the offer for the city to do it. Two, we only have not even an estimate. They just simply got it from a vendor. We don't have any explanation as to why time was an issue, considering it was just damage to the lawn. Granted, damage is damage. I'm sure it was unsightly to a degree. And perhaps more importantly, the claimant at no point has, unless I've missed something, responded to any of the correspondence regarding these meetings or the potential denial of their claim, other than to initially request an appeal. So I'm not sure why we should carry the water for them, especially when, using the same analogy, they didn't carry the water in the way that we've set out it's supposed to be done, really any aspect of it, other than going through with the appeal. It does not set a good precedent for how we handle claims. I understand that it setting all that aside, the actual substantive part, yes, I understand the analysis. I don't necessarily disagree one way or another. I just don't think we should be fighting the fight for them when they apparently have no interest in doing so, nor in doing so the way that they're supposed to. That's it for me.
Thank you, Mr. President. Councilman DeLuise.
Okay. Well, first of all, if I was choking or dying or my cat was being threatened by flames, I don't care if you tear up my lawn, my neighbor's lawn, doesn't matter. What upsets me more than that is if the claimant, okay, we have to take our time to be here, okay? I believe we've already wasted too much time on a $950 claim, and he was notified to be here two meetings, okay? So I'm inclined to deny this claim, okay? I know we approve hundreds and millions of dollars, but this just upsets me that the person that's fighting the city for $950 couldn't take time to show up here tonight. So my vote is to deny this claim.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other comments from the council?
Yes.
Councilman Kirby.
Yes, Chief. In our binders, it says that that was an estimate from Yardworks for $950, not an invoice. Do we know who really did this work yet, if he didn't do it himself?
I have no idea. We didn't do it.
So we don't know.
He hasn't communicated other than the last communication that I had heard through an email from the claims person. She spoke to him. He wanted a firm date. Didn't get the firm date. Filed a claim.
Without three bids, only one bid, and it's only an estimate, how can we even go along any further with this?
It's not required for three on a property damage claim. That's only for, I believe, a tire pothole claim.
Yeah.
But it's in your court now. It's not anything I can do.
I don't think we have the answers to really put an honest vote on this, and we don't even know if Yardworks did the work, and we're going to pay $950 to someone that possibly didn't do the work.
I have no idea. It was like I said, tire ruts in the driveway, and it was filled in with, when I went by it and saw it, it was filled in with loom.
I did. I rode by the next day.
It didn't seem like anything the city of Warwick, DPW, couldn't have done for free.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
In all due respect, I think as far as fixing the lawn, could have been done for like $300 or so. Pardon?
And hear you.
I think the $950 is excessive for just the lawn part.
I have no knowledge of what was done and what it would have cost.
I don't know who repaired the road and if that was included in the $950, but
I don't think the road has been repaired.
Crack filler.
Yeah, well, crack filling, but we would have done that. Yeah. I don't think Yardworks has any authority to crack fill out the road.
So we don't know who did the work, and I can't see how we go any further.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you say. Mm-hmm. It's your decision, not anything else I can add.
Great. Thank you, Councilman. Any comments from the public? Any comments from the public? I'm looking for a motion. Councilman Lattice.
Make a motion to deny.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. That is the last piece of business on the public safety. We are adjourned at 6:22. Thank you.
Would the Intergovernmental Committee please convene?
Okay, good evening. Time is now 6:23, and the Intergovernmental Committee comes to order. There are no minutes for approval. So we'll move right to our first item of business.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be recusing on this matter.
I'm sorry?
I'll be recusing on this first matter.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
First item of business, an appointment to the Land Trust Commission from Ward 2, Earl Simpson. Mr. Simpson is here, present. This appointment, you know, carries a certain significance, as this is the Mr. Simpson will be stepping in to fill the big shoes of Mr. Mike Zarum. Who sadly passed away earlier this year. Appointment to the Land Trust Commission, Mr. Earl Simpson. Mr. Simpson, would you like to take the mic? Dr. Simpson.
It's not doctor, it's Earl. I'm pleased to appear before the council tonight. I'm usually at home watching you folks on YouTube and griping about the microphones that don't work and I can't hear what you're saying, whatever. But I'm pleased to be here tonight. I am a 45-year resident of the city of Warwick, having spent 42 years at Rhode Island College, retiring 3 years ago. The recent past, I've become actively involved with the Audubon Society of Rhode Island and become active in their trying to save landscapes, forests, wetlands, places where animals live, birds, things like that. A few years ago, time goes by fast when you're having fun, the city ran into a concern over solar farms. And I got actively involved with a group of people, Mike Zarum being one of them, Jane Austin, chair of the commission, being one of them, A.J. Pandey, who's here, being one of them. And we actively worked with the council to work on changing zoning regulations for where solar farms could go, and became much more actively concerned about city government, which is why I listen to YouTube all the time. Upon the untimely death of Mike Zarum, I thought about it for a while and then contacted Councilman Ricks and volunteered to join the Land Trust and work to save open space for the city, wetlands, forests, and just make the city a better place to live, hopefully. So that's why I volunteered for that. I don't know if you guys have any questions.
Thank you so much. And I do think it would be appropriate time for questions. Do any of the committee members have any questions? Councilman Muto.
Thank you. Actually, no questions, just to thank you for stepping up and bringing your experience and your passion to the position. Jane Austin's running a great committee, and I share my enthusiasm that you will make the city of Warwick better. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Members of the council, Councilman Ricks.
Chairman.
Thank you. First, thank you, Earl, for stepping up. It's a lot to ask for volunteers to be giving their time, knowledge, expertise on a commission like this. I'm signing up for a term of 5 years, so I hope you're ready for it. So,
time goes by fast when you're having fun, so.
Well, all kidding aside, it really is something where volunteers like yourself are really something that makes Warwick a great place to live. I know that, and I have full confidence in your ability to hit the ground running in this position, having Since you had worked with Mr. Zarum on some related issues in the past, as well as knowing and working with other members of the Land Trust in the past on some of these different topics, the way that you follow the City Council on YouTube and often coming here in person, it's wonderful to see public participation like this, and it's largely a thankless type of position. Volunteer takes a lot of hours, but it's what makes Warwick tick. And so just want to make sure, since it is a thankless position, that we are at least giving you some thanks here this evening. Thank you in advance for what I hope is many years of productive work on the Land Trust, and always looking forward to staying in touch and working with the Land Trust, seeing how we can protect Warwick open spaces and other priorities that the Land Trust has. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman. Anyone else? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Simpson, one of the first things that they told me when I was heading to boot camp was never volunteer. That I remember. Seriously. Thank you not for only volunteering to serve on this commission, but for the constant attention that you have given to the city, your attendance at countless amounts of city council meetings, and your input and your direction and your opinions are just so valuable to us. And I look forward to having you serve on the Land Trust Commission and carrying on those same things that you do here. So congratulations and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Do any members of the public have anything to add? Just please step up to the microphone. Just state your name.
Liz Colt, a member of the Warwick Land Trust. And although it's apparent to me that it's absolutely unnecessary for me to discuss Earl's qualifications and enduring interest in the city of Warwick, and particularly how we manage our natural resources and other resources, I did want to get up here and say that I, along with my fellow trustees, sounds fancy, feel very lucky that Councilman Ricks nominated Earl, and by all indications that he will be joining us shortly as an official member of the Warwick Land Trust, because so far and for the past several months he's been an unofficial member. And a pleasure, and a great contributor to the conversation. So, thank you.
Thank you so much for your kind words. Any other members of the public have anything to add? Mr. Pandey.
Good evening, everybody. I'm AJ Pandey. I'm also on the Land Trust. I'm a member at large. I'd like to begin by thanking Councilman Ricks for putting Earl Simpson's name forward for appointment to the Land Trust. I believe Earl will be an outstanding addition to the Warwick Land Trust. He's been an active member of our community for many years, as many of you already stated. His academic and professional background clearly demonstrates the executive skills and leadership experience that will benefit, that the commission will benefit from. Earl's long involvement with the Audubon Society, which is the state's largest holder of conservation land, brings a valuable perspective on land stewardship and conservation that will only strengthen the work of the Warwick Land Trust. He's also been attending our meetings for the last several months, which means he's really eager to start, so, which is a good thing, and we always want that. We welcome Earl's enthusiasm and willingness to serve, and I respectfully urge the council to approve his nomination. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Any other members of the public have anything to add? Seeing none. Do we have a motion?
A motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Welcome to the Land Trust, Earl. Okay. Next up, we have PCR 6626, a resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation requesting paving and engineering review of Greenwich Avenue. I believe this is Council President Snappy.
Yep.
So this is before us because the short version is the state DOT keeps giving myself and Representative Bennett the runaround. This has been going on for some time where there's a portion of Greenwich Ave that's within a neighborhood that is in dire need of paving, and the residents have been asking for such because it's a state road. The current mechanism is that we have to go through the state for them to fix it. We've complied with every way that they said it needed to be done, and they keep changing the manner in which they say the request has to come in after we comply. And so this hopefully can't be any clearer now, where if it passes, it'll be a resolution from the council signed by the mayor. I'd like to think we will stop getting the runaround and they will actually acknowledge and agree that this is in the queue to be paved. So that's why it's here. There's also and a little add-on here for the, I guess there's a sinkhole in front of Crown Plaza, of a reoccurring one. So I figured while they're looking at things, they could look at that as well.
Thank you, Council President. Any members of the committee have any questions on this? Members of the council? Any members of the public? Resolution 6626, paving on Greenwich Avenue. Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And finally, PCR 70-26, a resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation and State Traffic Commission requesting a traffic study of Greenwich Avenue where it intersects with Lancaster Avenue and Brianna Lane. And I believe this is something related to a crosswalk.
Yep, this is a request for either a crosswalk or at least for something to be done, because at this intersection, the distance between a crosswalk currently, if you wanted to use one, is all the way at Crown or at Appanog. It's quite a distance. It's not really viable. And this wasn't as much of an issue before, but ever since the road diet was implemented, apparently it's become far more difficult if you'd like to actually cross the road as a pedestrian. So rather than forcing people to play Frogger, I'd like for them to look into this and take action.
Okay, sounds reasonable to me. Any members of the committee have any questions? Members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Motion for favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And with that, at 6:36, intergovernmental is adjourned. Thank you.
Would the Community Affairs Committee please convene? Public Properties, Community Affairs. Full title. Uses in there too.
The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order at 6:37. We have one item on the agenda, PCR 6926, a resolution in observance of Pride Month. So I'll just start out. We typically do have a resolution in observance of Pride Month every year. June is Pride Month. And I'm glad that Warwick will continue to docket and hear this resolution, even if the federal government chooses not to. So, any questions, comments, members of the committee? Questions, comments, members of the council? Questions, comments, members of the public? I'm glad this is not controversial at all in Warwick.
Move favorable
favorable action.
We have a motion for favorable action. Do we have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. 4-0.
That concludes our committees. Would the full council please convene?
All right, the full council will convene at 6:41 p.m. Clerk will please call the roll. Here.
Mr. Foley.
Here.
Mr. Gephardt.
Here.
Mr. Kirby.
Here.
Mr. Lattiser.
Oh, wait, really? Yeah. My apologies. I should have looked left before. That's my fault. Please hold.
Mr. Lattiser.
Here.
Mr. Muto.
Here.
Mr. Ricks.
Here.
Eight present.
Councilman Kirby, can you lead us, please, in the salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
All right, first up is general communications, announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. Does anyone have anything for general communications? All right, moving on to executive communications, for which there are none. Next is public comment. Rule 41, after general communications and prior to the consent calendar at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to speak, provided, however, that if more than six citizens are signed up and present, the 30 minutes will be split evenly amongst speakers. Time shall not be transferable amongst speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during the public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all speakers, concluding their allotted time, or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires unanimous vote of the council. First up, we have Rob Cody.
Rob Cody, Ward 7. I just wanted to bring everybody up to date on my First Amendment lawsuit with the city, which was initiated due to the actions of the former councilwoman, convicted criminal Travis. I recently received discovery from both convicted criminal Travis and Council President Snappy, where they both attempted to discredit me when I make fiscal issues public through emails that affect the taxpayer. Convicted criminal Travis attempts to go back to 2012 to discredit me because of the work that I spearheaded to end the automobile taxes. She seems to be upset that during my research on the matter, I discovered that her car taxes and her property taxes have been delinquent for years, although she voted to increase property taxes and decrease the auto exemption, which increased automobile taxes. She didn't pay her bills in the way that every other resident is obligated to do so. She attaches numerous letters sent to her by a neighbor that she's had a long-standing feud with. How that has anything to do with this case is bewildering. To be truthful, I really can't wait until her deposition. Can you imagine the questions? Ms. Travis, Is it true that you were indicted by the grand jury for falsifying official documents in the effort to steal a piece of property? Ms. Travis, did you eventually plead guilty for the actions you took to steal a piece of property? Can you imagine how rapidly her character will be impeached, yet the city continues to spend taxpayer money to defend a convicted criminal? It's amazing. Then in reviewing Mr. Snappy's responses, he also attempts to put forth documents and emails that I have circulated pertaining to the waste, theft, and abuse, and use these things to attempt to discredit me. All relative matters directly affecting taxpayers and city government. The responses that he put forth from residents who have witnessed him exert Rule 19 to shut me down, as well as to shut down a seated councilman, are incredible. Here are some of the quotes from residents describing him that he's attached in his discovery. Petulant child, full of his own ego, disrespectful to residents, rude and smug, ringmaster of the circus, unacceptable lack of respect, outright disdain for the public. These are the documents that he has put forward himself. Interestingly enough, I discovered the online the Rhode Island Supreme Court decision of December 17th about Mr. Snappy, which is a publicly available document to anybody, and it states the following points. The applicant displayed an intentional lack of candor in his response to certain questions on the bar application. The applicant had no legal basis for withholding certain information and documents on the bar application. The applicant was reticent in responding to subsequent requests for information that he failed to provide to the bar application. The applicant indicated the only ultimate reason that he turned over the documents that he initially failed to provide was because he thought that he would not get his license to practice law. The applicant displayed disdain and hostility towards the character and fitness process and how he chose to respond to requests for information that is sought from every applicant. The applicant appears to operate from the perspective that his own perceptions of fairness should trump any rules or requirements to which he is subject to. The applicant has displayed a persistent pattern of resisting authority and being unwilling to comply with requirements that he deems to be unfair to him, unless and until compliance is forced upon him. And finally, the applicant, both directly and through his attorney, displayed a significant lack of respect for the character and fitness process, as well as significant lack of awareness or interest in how his behavior is perceived by others. Do any of these characteristics seem to be familiar behavior in this body? I'm sure that the depositions of these two individuals, along with those of other council members, will lead to examples of a distinct pattern of behavior that has persisted in this body for years in the sole effort to shut down any critics of the council and to purposely bully residents to quash their First Amendment rights. I will be sure to keep you all posted as things progress in this case, which again was initiated by the former councilwoman, convicted criminal Travis. Thank you.
All right, I apologize in advance because I can't quite read this, but I think it's David. And the last name begins with the D. DeRosa? DeRozier. My apologies.
Okay, this is the first time I've done something like this. Hi, I'm David DeRosa. I live at 48 Draper Avenue. I'm here to address the council about the Rhode Island Alternative Academy that's located in the old Green Elementary at 51 Draper, right across the street from my house. We've been in Warwick for about 8 years. We've seen the Green Elementary School first as temp offices for the city offices, which was very convenient to walk across the street and pay my taxes and utility bills. Then as a distribution of school.
I apologize, but can you speak into the mic? The acoustics in here are awful, so it's hard to hear.
Okay. So we've seen the elementary school since we've been here, first as a temporary office for the city of Warwick that housed tax office and various other offices. Very convenient, walk across the street, pay my bills. Then it was used as the distribution center for education products such as laptops during COVID. And then the Rhode Island Alternative Academy moved in. So, and also during this time, the Gorton Junior High building housed two different elementary schools in the course of 3 years while their schools were renovated. So we were accustomed to school-age children, such as recess food trucks and graduations. Never had any issues. Without notice to our community, Rhode Island alternative education opened up approximately 3 years ago, and that's when the problem started. First, we like to mention that the concept of school for students who need extra resources and more support is a guaranteed. With having a nephew who has autism, who went to a charter school and thrived, we understand. That being said, what we are here for, to make you aware what we have experienced, multiple disturbing incidences that have occurred, not in the building, but outside the building, on the street, on the sidewalk, in our neighborhood. The age group appears to be middle school age to high school age. The webpage for this school shows elementary school kids, which is the only photos they have. To be honest, I have never seen elementary age children there. Some examples we have experienced are students standing outside the building, yelling, swearing at residents, delivery drivers, mailman, and just random cars passing by. Other behaviors included banging on the door multiple times, which had lead to breaking the door, throwing rocks at windows, whacking the windows with big sticks, and verbally threatening neighbors and members of the staff at the school. On two different occasions, for two consecutive school years.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Okay. My wife and I went over and talked to the superintendent, and he was condescending and unprofessional. So I've reached out to Ed several times, and he's followed up with me. What we want to see is we want these kids to have an education. We want a plan. There's no plan. The school, basically, if they misbehave, they put them outside, they lock the door, and we have to pay for it. We need somebody to follow up. I know the school year has ended. I hope changes before the next school year starts. How can we make changes for everyone involved? We would like to be updated before the next school year. And that's my time. Okay, thank you.
So next we move on to appointments requiring confirmation. First, we have the Land Trust Commission. Earl Simpson, this is intergovernmental, so Councilman Gephardt.
Mr. President, I'll be recusing.
Yes, Mr. President, the committee recommended unanimously favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Any discussion regarding the motion for favorable action? Councilman Gephardt? Oh, just seconding. Got it. All right. Any discussion? All right. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
8 yes, appointment passes.
All right, next is the consent calendar, PCR 71-26, resolution relative to the bids. This is Finance, Councilman Lattiser.
Finance Committee recommends favorable action.
For action, Councilman Lattiser.
Move favorable action on PCR 71-26.
Second.
All right, and there were two bids separated out. Is there any further discussion regarding the consent calendar besides the two bids that were separated out, which obviously is no longer on the calendar? All right. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Rix?
Yes.
8 yes, consent passes.
All right. And now regarding the two items that were separated out, Councilman Lattisa?
The first item is PCR 72-26, formerly 2027-064. And the committee recommended favorable action. There is an amendment.
All right. For action, Councilman Lattisa.
Move favorable action on the amendment, which would be to add a vendor, Ocean Inc., to PCR 72-26.
Second.
All right, and discussion. What was the name of that vendor again, please?
Ocean Inc. That was the additional vendor. Yes.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll on the amendment.
Sorry.
Morris.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Rix?
Yes.
8 yes to amend.
All right. PCR 72-26 now stands before us as amended. For action, Councilman Lattisa.
Move favorable action on PCR 72-26 as amended.
Second.
Are you saying 72 or 73?
72.
Got it. All right. Sorry. That's my fault. I misheard. All right. And it was seconded by Councilman Muto. Is there any further discussion as amended? All right. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Rix?
Yes.
8 yes. As amended.
All right. And the next item that was separated out, Councilman Lattisa?
That would be item number 2022-067, now PCR 73-26, workers' compensation self-insured, and it was at the request of Councilman Rix for a recusal.
All right. For action, Councilman Lattisa.
Move favorable action on PCR 73-26.
Second.
All right. Any further discussion? All right. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Recuse.
7 yes, 1 recusal.
All right, next is unfinished business, PCR 62-26, resolution relative to claim for Whedon. This is public safety. Councilman Muto?
Thank you, Mr. President. The committee recommended denial.
All right, for action, Councilman Muto?
Committee recommended denial. Motion, favorable action for the denial.
Second.
All right, any further discussion on this? Councilman DeLuise?
So would that be unfavorable action?
So it's favorable action on the denial.
On the denial.
Yeah. Okay. So if you vote yes, you're sustaining the, or affirming rather, the denial of the claim.
Got it.
Any further discussion on this? All right. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Rix?
Yes.
8 yes to deny.
All right, and we're on to new business, PCR 66-26, a resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation requesting paving and engineering review of Greenwich Avenue. This is intergovernmental. Councilman Gephardt?
Yes, Mr. President, committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Gephardt?
Move favorable action.
Is there a second?
Second.
Oh, thank you. Any further discussion? That was Councilman Lattisa. Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. Muto?
Yes.
Mr. Rix? 8 yes, motion passes.
All right, next is PCR 69-26, a resolution in observance of Pride Month. This is public properties. Councilman Rix.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Muto.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
8 yes, motion passes.
Next is PCR 70-26. A resolution to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation and the State Traffic Commission requesting a traffic study of Greenwich Avenue where it intersects Lancaster Avenue and Brianna Lane. This is intergovernmental. Councilman Gephardt.
Yes, Mr. President. Committee recommended favorable action.
For action, Councilman Gephardt.
Move favorable.
Second.
Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any further discussion? Seeing none, clerk will please call the roll.
Mr. Sinapi.
Yes.
Mr. DeLuise.
Yes.
Mr. Foley.
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt.
Yes.
Mr. Kirby.
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser.
Yes.
Mr. Muto.
Yes.
Mr. Ricks.
Yes.
8 yes, motion passes.
All right, we're on to unanimous consent. Does anyone have anything for unanimous consent? Seeing none.
Since there's no further business before this honorable body, I move to a docketing session.
Excuse me for once. Could I just interject? I don't know if we overlooked it or if I missed it. Could we just have a moment of silence? I don't know if you had mentioned it earlier, but for the young boy that drowned in my ward in Connecticut on Friday. And I'm sorry to say that I don't know his name, but I've been living there most of my life, and I've seen these tragedies over and over and over again, and hopefully we can implement something to prevent them. But I'd just like to have a moment of silence for the 7-year-old boy that drowned on, I believe, Friday.
Is there any objection to that? All right, seems like a safe bet. All right, please have a moment of silence for the recently passed individual. Thank you, Councilman DeLuise, for not letting us miss that. And Councilman Foley, back to you, as you had said, requested to move to the docket session. Is there a second? Seconded by Councilman Lattiser. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Ward 1?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3 is absent. Ward 4?
I actually have two. I don't know if it would how to go about this, but I'd like to research. I have a lot of complaints I've been getting about e-bikes, and I'd like to docket something to the effect that maybe we could research e-bikes and maybe possibly get rid of them. They're becoming a hazard to drivers. And I've gotten more than one email from people in my area. So
you're looking for an ordinance regarding e-bikes?
An ordinance regarding e-bikes, yes.
The ordinance?
An ordinance.
All right.
And then one other one, what I was discussing about as far as the safety at Connecticut Point. I know there's signage and it's in Spanish, and they have an alarm and all that stuff. But I think people really, I mean, I grew up basically on the waterfront my whole life. And I have deep respect for the water. I just think people, we need to make them more aware of the currents when the two waters meet from the south and the north at Connecticut, especially at the sandbar. They need to be more aware of the dangers. So if we could.
Let's docket a resolution regarding Connecticut Beach safety, and we'll assign it to the Public Properties Land Use Community Affairs Committee.
Yes.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6? Ward 7?
Pass.
Ward 9? And I don't believe I have anything either. Let me just double check. All right, so we stand adjourned at 7:07 p.m.